Welcome back, Mrs. Jackson. We appreciate you joining us. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
What's the status of talks right now?
Well, as you know, the strike started this morning, and we were back at the bargaining table with CTU for a few hours. Those talks did have to take a break because the teachers are having a rally this afternoon. But we did start back this morning, and I know on our side we're continuing to push for a sense of urgency so that we can reach a deal, especially since we're at a point where students are out of class. And so we've been spending most of our time today back at headquarters making sure that our contingency plan is in place to greet the students that showed up today. We had about 7,000 students come to school today, and we wanted to make sure that they were safe and knew that the district was prepared to greet them and make sure they had everything they needed during this time. But we'll be back at the table this afternoon with CTU and hope to get a deal done and get these things resolved as quickly as possible.
Can you tell me about the mechanics of that? Is it 40 of them on one side of a table? Are you all in different rooms? What's that look like?
So just to give you a high-level overview, we have what's called a table team, which looks like a pretty traditional labor negotiation setup with folks from Chicago Public Schools, all of whom are educators or former teachers, which I think is critically important. That has never been the case during contract negotiations with CPS and CTU. And then, of course, there are lawyers for both CTU and Chicago Public Schools present. What is unique about the way in which we bargain with our partners at CTU is that they do have a big bargaining committee made up of 40 teachers who represent schools throughout the city. And we discuss things at the table. They take different topics back to caucus over and try to reach resolutions. And so that extra step of working with the bargaining team and getting their approval is a mechanic that's in place based on how CTU is organized.
Are you in that room?
Oh, no, I have not started negotiations during this cycle. I did participate in 2016 when I was in the role of chief education officer. The mayor and I have both said we're happy to negotiate. We've been anxious to get to the table, but we have to come to the table when we actually have a substantive proposal and response back from CTU. I know for a lot of listeners it's hard to kind of get through all of the information that's being talked about, but essentially where we are is CTU gave us a full proposal in January that would cost the city $2.5 billion. And throughout negotiations, whether the pace was fast or slow, they have not come off any of those. And so what we're trying to do now that we have gotten to this point, is really try to figure out what are the real issues that have them out of class that we can resolve. We know it's not compensation because we haven't heard a lot about compensation in the past few weeks at the bargaining table. It's been widely reported that the mayor's offer is generous. It's in line with what the neutral fact finder that CTU and CPS agreed to use had stated was important.
Right.
And so we're just trying to get to the bottom of what it's going to take to actually bring our kids back to class.
The CTU has a commercial that's going to start running throughout Chicago. It'll be on this radio station, maybe at this time tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play for you a couple of the clips from the ad because I think it articulates their position on what you just said. What are the sticking points? Here's the first part of that commercial.
When she was running for mayor, Lori Lightfoot promised to do more for our kids and our schools. But her campaign promises don't mean a thing unless she tells Chicago Public Schools to make good on them. Like fully staffing schools with nurses, librarians, and counselors. Creating safe and welcoming learning environments.
You told us yesterday a little bit about that. You said mm-hmm. that if we agree to that in writing, since there's not enough people in the pipeline, we'll immediately be in violation of the contract. Is that your position on it?
That's our position. Let's take a step back. The mayor has said and has already put in motion a plan to do exactly what was played in that clip. Even before we got to the point where we were negotiating in earnest. The mayor talked to parents, teachers, students, and principals throughout the city and heard the importance of social workers in these key positions in schools. And in our operating budget, we added those positions to the operating budget this year and have been working. We added 90 positions, and we've been working to staff those positions. There is a pipeline issue that is conveniently not talked about, and so what we want to better understand is how do we create a plan that has those goals identified, those shared goals that we both have, but are also responsible. We can't promise that we're going to do something that we know is going to be challenging and require time and creativity documenting that in the contract or documenting that in writing in some way, and that's what we've been trying to do, but the union has not moved off its original position from January, which is to add all of these in the contract.
I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but I know their frustration with what you just said is that the way the Chicago schools let those contracts, the way they actually try and hire those, is late enough in some hiring cycle that a lot of the people that would qualify for those positions have found employment elsewhere. You need to sort of change the way you actually try and fill those spots. Does that make any sense?
Well, that is not the issue here. In fact, in the past 2 years, CPS has released its budget early, or I would say earlier than it had in the past, which is right in line so that we can hire competitively. Principals know their budgets in March, and they can start the hiring process, so it lines up perfectly when folks are completing school. The fact of the matter is, if you look, you can go and do a search on your own through the ISBE's website, the State of Illinois, the State Board of Education's website, and see how many certified nurses that are unemployed reside in Illinois. The numbers don't match. You can do that same search for social workers who have the school licensure. So these are real issues that could immediately be looked at. I would much rather prefer, instead of going back and forth around the challenges around the pipeline, to really sit down, roll up our sleeves, and figure out a plan that is aggressive as it needs to be, a plan that prioritizes the schools that need it the most on the south and west side, like we've done with the new positions that we've added. And we just haven't gotten that sense of urgency from the union.
What about this?
Go ahead.
If I may, I just wanted to play for you another clip. Is that all right?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Here's another thing that they're going to be saying all around Chicagoland tomorrow.
And lowering class size at every grade level. Other cities across America have made it happen. Let's do it here in Chicago.
You and I did not talk about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Can you put in writing that we'll limit the classroom size by a certain student count?
What we are prepared to put in writing is to go beyond what's already in our contract to account for class size. Let's get a clear understanding of what the class size issue is. The first fact is that it is not the 1970s where we have these images of 40 kids in a classroom all across the city. Everyone knows that we're losing enrollment dramatically in Chicago, in particular on the south and the west side. So the very communities where they're claiming this overcrowding is rampant, it's not true. We do, however, have some communities that are growing and some communities where, because of Chicago Public School success, more families are choosing to send their kids to CPS as opposed to their neighborhood Catholic schools, et cetera. If you live in a community that happens to have 38 first graders or some number like that, we can't just tell those eight students over that number, you can't attend this school. What we have offered in writing is to make sure that we provide a teacher's assistant in that classroom in cases where that has happened. We've also put in writing that we would work with our principals to make sure that they're not over-enrolling those schools and classrooms with students who don't reside in those boundaries. So again, we put in writing what we think are solutions to this, and we're just waiting for a response that we don't get through the media, that we don't get through commercials, that we actually get in writing back from the union that is very different than the proposal, the only official proposal that we have on the table, which is what they gave us back in January.
This is the third clip of three I'll play for you. This is, again, another part of the CTU commercial starting tomorrow. Go ahead.
We have the funding. The state gave us an additional $1 billion for public education.
I've heard about that on and off the air. Didn't the state say, here's $1 billion? Where's that $1 billion?
Well, first of all, that's misleading, and the union knows that. The first year when we received additional funding from the state, which we're very happy we received because we were on the brink of financial insolvency, $700 billion, billion with a B, went into the teacher's pension fund, a fund that I happen to be a part of and which I believe needs to be funded. But because of that lack of funding, $700 billion went there to account for underfunding from previous years and to try to get us back on track. The additional funds, it's all documented in our budget. We went from a district where we were cutting budgets and into putting new dollars into our schools. We put $31 million in equity grants. We put more money in bilingual education. We put close to $30 million in special education, close to $100 million in early childhood education. And so this fantasy that this money somehow came and went into a black hole just doesn't make sense. And then the last point that I will lift up is CPS is still a district where we are managing our finances carefully. We borrow $700 million a year in order to operate our budget. That would be the same as a family, saying that a family that is surviving by spending money on a credit card every month in order to survive is somehow flush with cash to pay for all of the things that they are proposing. And so while the union has said money isn't an issue, so it's curious to me that this is now becoming more of an issue. I think it's a red herring, and we really got to get back to the things that matter, which is making sure they have a contract that respects the work that they do. And I think we led with that with a generous raise in health care contributions, and also making sure if there are true quality of life issues that need to be addressed, that we have a proposal that is responsible and respectful and fair so we can get a deal done. And I am looking forward to getting that, and I would love to be at the table along with the mayor to settle that contract right. Once we get a response from them.
You and I have less than 30 seconds left. Will there be the Chicago Tribune, I believe, in their editorial said that once the strike starts, then it's a reset on the negotiation. Are you going to keep with all of the proposals that you've made, all of the offers, or exists the possibility that you'll pull back on some of these offers?
Where we are, we think we have a fair contract and proposal on the table that we hope the union will respond to. We can't comment on where the district is going to go. We think that we put something out there that's fair. The union has to come back to us and tell us what matters. If they believe that the compensation package that we have is, it doesn't matter as much as having a nurse in a school or some of these other things that they're talking about, we're happy to have that conversation with
them.
We just haven't had it.
Yeah, but that'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Do you want to trade some of your raise for some nurses and aides? I mean, has that been discussed?
We have not had that discussion yet.
Finally, do you know what time the contract negotiations, you said they'll get back in there this afternoon. Do you know when they're actually going to sit down?
Yeah, we're looking at late this afternoon. I know that the rally just started around 1:30, so it'll probably be a couple of hours, and our team is just in a recess of sorts, so just waiting for CTU leadership to return. So we're anticipating a couple of hours.
Janice Jackson, thank you for your time again.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Maybe we'll talk again tomorrow or the next day, hopefully soon on better terms.